We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizen pastor at Brookside. And I wanted to share with you the next couple of sessions, a Bible study that has been a tremendous blessing to me personally, because it deals with something that I think all of us are having to deal with, especially with the economy doing what it's doing or not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And then many times we are facing difficulties with job situations. We're going to be talking about fear and the disaster of living in fear. Now, fear is something that all of us understand. Even the student understands the fear of flunking a class, not making a passing grade, getting the test, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know that word that I'm supposed to conjugate, and if I can't remember that word, I'm going to fail this entire test. We all understand what it is to face fear. It goes beyond school, of course, when we get into a job situation, and then we realize we're the last one hired. And maybe the economy is not getting any better. In fact, we begin to see signs that it's getting worse. And all of a sudden, we begin to realize I could lose my job. And the fear of being unemployed, or the fear of hearing that word cancer when we go see the doctor, or maybe we've heard that word and now we don't know what to do. We don't know exactly how we should respond. Maybe it's the fear of losing our wealth. Maybe it's the fear of losing our safety and our being secure. Maybe it's the fear of losing a loved one. Whatever it is, the Bible tells us that we are not to fear. In fact, there are 366 fear nots in the Bible. Now, how many days are there in a year? Right, 365. So God has given us one extra fear not just to give us one per day. Plus one. In fact, the Bible talks about fear a lot. Fear or fears is used 575 times in the scriptures. And it's interesting, it is the one emotion that is never attributed to God. Because being God, He has nothing to fear. And when you have God as your God, the same thing can be true. Now, our imagination can bring up all kinds of fears. Our reasoning can begin to give us all kinds of foundations for fear. You see, the bottom line of worry is fear. I might lose something that's very significant to me, and so consequently, I begin to worry about it. I remember when I was a student at a Christian college my freshman year, and I took 36 hours. That was 18 hours a semester, which at that time was the most you could take as a freshman. And then I decided at the end of that year to transfer to a state school. And as I contacted that school, I asked them how many of those credits would transfer, and they laughed. And they said, well, the college you went to your first year was not accredited, and so consequently none of these credits are going to transfer. Well, immediately fear began to envelop me, and I thought, you mean I have wasted an entire year of studying and all the expense of that entire year? And so I immediately went on the attack mode, and I began to talk to everybody I possibly could about what can be done. And then they said, well, you can take the final exam for all of these classes, and if you make an A or a B, then we will give you the credit for it. So I studied all summer long, planning to take final exams for all 36 hours, and got to the state school, and, well, lo and behold, they could only offer me the proficiency examinations for only 17 of those hours, half of my credits. I passed them, got A's or B's, but then they said, now, you can't get your 6 hours of speech transferred because it's a different kind of speech. I tell you what, why don't we sign you up for a speech class, and if you make an A in that class, then we will transfer those 6 hours. I said, that sounds fair enough to me. I signed up for a speech class. They rejected it. And then they said, no, we'll choose a speech class for you. The class I chose was debate. I walked into that class and realized everybody else in that class but myself and one other transfer student was a debate major, and they were all seniors. I had no clue what was going on. And then I discovered that the way you get an A in that class is for you and your partner to win the debates. If you lost the debate, you got an F. That afternoon, something began to develop in my solar plexus area, the beginning of an ulcer. And I suffered with an ulcer for several months. You can imagine, when I talked to the doctor about it, he said, "So what's the problem?" I told him what my issue was. I had to get an A in the class. And then he said, "So it was a Christian college?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm not a Christian, but I always thought that Christians could pray about these things." You might as well have slapped me in the face. I was so embarrassed. Here is an unsaved doctor rebuking me for my fear. You know, it doesn't make any difference what we're afraid of. The bottom line of worry is fear. And when you begin to become enveloped with fear, your emotional direction is skewed, your spiritual decisions are all messed up. The Bible clearly talks about fear. First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, it says that a fearful person can spread his fear. The first four verses are talking about the people of Israel going to war. But then it says in verse number 8, "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." Sending a man home from the army because he's afraid, because fear is contagious. And of course, we remember that fear does not come from God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so consequently, whenever I am facing fear, the first thing I can remember is it doesn't come from God. God doesn't give me the spirit of fear, because you remember, God never fears. He's never afraid of anything. And he is your God. He's my God. But God has promised to give me power, love, and a sound mind. And that word power means the available ability. The available ability. And so God has promised to help us with our fears. Now, the person that we want to study in this area of fear is the person of Job. Now, all of us know Job and his difficulties, the sufferings of Job and the patience of Job we've heard a lot about. Job was a man that God described as a man that was just in all of his ways. This was a man that trusted the Lord. This was a man that had a godly family. But this was a man that was afraid. And the Bible tells us that his fears were soon realized. You see, he was about 60 years old when all of the catastrophes began to take place. 60 years old. His catastrophes lasted for 7 months. And God knew that this choice servant of his was living in fear. Now, let's go back to the beginning of this story. Do you remember that Satan was walking in the presence of God in heaven? And God asked him, "Where you been, Satan?" And he said, "Oh, just walking to and fro over the face of the earth." And at that point, God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Wasn't it amazing that God brought up Job? He said, "If you consider my servant Job, there's none like unto him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and casts away evil." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Have you ever wondered why God brought up his servant Job when he and Satan were talking? Because we know what Satan wanted to do to him, and we know what Satan did to him. You begin to wonder about God, like, Lord, you are omniscient. You know everything. Why would you bring up a man that was a blessing to everybody, that loved you, that honored you, whose family honored you? Why would you do this? Well, God always has reasons. And one of the things that we must understand is that God knew that Job was a man of fear. He was a man of worry. In fact, 49 times the word fear or afraid are mentioned in the book of Job. Fear or afraid. You see, God wanted Job to stop worrying. He wanted him to be able to live the last years of his life in joy and peace and security. And so God brought Job up to Satan to allow him to go through this test for the next 7 months, to bring him to the point that he began to learn that he could trust God completely. Let me tell you, my friend, you and I know what it means to face fear. We know what it means to worry. The question is, do we know what it means to trust God? And many times God will have to bring situations into our lives to teach us to trust him. For Job, it was 7 months. Somebody put it this way, when the battle cannot break you, the duration often can. When the battle cannot break you, the duration often can. And it could be that you are going through one battle after another, and it seems like it will never end. Recognize that God is in control, and that God is wanting to teach you some of the most important lessons of your Christian life. And the next time we get together, we're going to begin talking about how God worked in Job's life and what Job learned about himself and what Job learned about God. Because you see, every trial and test that comes our way, Satan wants us to become bitter. God wants us to become better. We need to get God's perspective. And so the next time we meet, we'll look at God's perspective and how he brought it about in Job's heart and mind and brought him to the point of peace and safety. And so until the next time, we trust the Lord will bless you in an awesome way.